Hi, I'm Dr. Wambui, and welcome to the Drug Chat. I think that the human body is intricately created, making us one of the most amazing living things on earth. In this podcast, we explore how the body works and then apply the drugs. My hope is that with this knowledge, we become better healthcare providers, whatever field of medicine you may be in, better caregivers to our patients or to ourselves. We do take medicines from time to time, don't we? All right, let's break it down. Hello, my podcast friends, and how you doing? I hope you're well. Here we are back on the hypertension groovy train. And today we're going to be talking about our first class of drugs, the beta blockers. And as usual, let's first recap and see what happens on a normal day in our bodies. So on a normal day, the right side of your heart receives deoxygenated blood that has been traveling around your body, giving it nutrients and oxygen. Then it comes back into the heart. Then your heart pumps the blood to your lungs for fresh oxygen, comes back to your heart again, and pumps it back into your body, okay? So all this pumping in the heart is doing, it needs pressure to push the blood in and out. And obviously it does this using your blood vessels. And usually we measure that because blood pressure is the pressure of blood pushing against the walls of your arteries. And it's a measurement of two numbers, systolic, the top number, and diastolic, the bottom number. So systolic, the bottom number, is the pressure or the force that is produced by your heart when it pumps that blood out to the rest of your body. So the distribution part, right? While diastolic, the bottom number, is the pressure or the force in your blood vessels when your heart is at rest, when it is in between heartbeats. So hypertensive or a hypertensive patient is when your heart is working harder than it's supposed to, doing a lot more pressure and force is going well, and your heart is not resting well in between the beats, okay? So usually the analogy I use for my patients is, I tell them, imagine you've planted some trees and you need to water them, and all you have to use is a hose and the tap. If you put in the hose into the tap and you open that tap at full force, the amount of pressure that that water comes out with is so much that if you're not careful, you've got a whimsy hose, it's going to bust it out. And the way to do it is just to slow down the force of the water that's coming through by turning down the tap a little bit, and the water coming out is not going to be as bad. Feel free to use the analogy with your patients. There's no copyright to it, but I've always found it an easy way to explain what we are talking about with this pressure. All right, so back on to beta blockers. They are primarily used to treat cardiovascular diseases. However, do not be surprised when you come across them again in other disease states, because if you look at the indication, you'll find it saying tachycardia, hypertension, MI, heart failure, hyperthyroidism, glaucoma, migraine prophylaxis. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that beta blockers are a pretty versatile group of drugs. But for this specific conversation, we are only going to be looking at beta blockers in relation to hypertension. So you're going to have to put all the other things that they're used for in your back burner. Okay, so the nitty-gritty of things. The name beta blockers, that beta part is actually a name of a receptor. And there exist beta 1 receptor, beta 2 receptor, and beta 3 receptors. But for our discussion, we are only going to stay with beta 1 and beta 2 receptors. Now, beta 1 is primarily found in your heart, while beta 2 is found in many organs and has metabolic activities, and it induces smooth muscle relaxation. So You can imagine if I'm giving it for hypertension and the beta, it's a non-selective one, then it's in your lungs. And so in your lungs, the beta 2 is helping them to relax so that you can breathe better, which is good, right? So I'm sure you can imagine how they are used for asthma patients, correct? Again, let's look on a normal day. So on a normal day, I already told you how this blood is flowing, right? But this push, the pull, and all this force and the stuff happening on the blood arteries, what's happening is that you have two neurotransmitters. Yes, you have epinephrine and norepinephrine. Yes, there's electricity going on in your heart. Get that myth of being in love and you've got some shock is true. So what happens is that this epinephrine and norepinephrine, it binds to the beta 1 receptor or the beta 2 receptor, right? So on the beta 1 receptor, what happens is that when that combination of epi or norepi plus the beta 1 receptor, it increases your cardiac activity and it also increases your blood pressure. That's what happens on a normal day when nobody's blocking anything. Okay. So then the heart is able to carry on its work of pushing blood out into your body because it has increased cardiac activity. It's being able to squeeze well, and the pressure is good to be able to push this blood out. All right. So, as you can imagine, if I am a beta blocker, so actually, you know what? The beta blockers, I was thinking since they block norepi and epi, we could possibly be calling these epi and norepi blockers, but I bet that was just too long. So beta blockers is better. All right. So beta blockers, if this medicine's beta blockers, they come and they block norepi and epi from accessing the beta 1 receptor, then the opposite is going to happen. Decrease cardiac activity and decrease blood pressure, which is exactly what we want. We are trying to decrease this heart rate and we're trying to decrease this blood pressure. And that is exactly what we want this beta blockers to do. So they're classified into two. There is non-selective meaning it doesn't matter. It blocks beta 1 and beta 2 equal. It's not picky. As opposed to beta 1 selective, they only block beta 1. They could care less about beta 2. Now, the first beta blockers to be made or discovered or used by this wonderful, clever scientist, I still don't know how they do this, were the non-selective beta blockers, specifically propranolol. This was back in the 1960s, so they've been around for a while, and it was by a guy called Sir James Black, okay? But Sir James Black was actually trying to figure out a way to treat angina. And angina is a type of chest pain that occurs because of reduced blood flow to your heart. So here they are, they make up propranolol and they're thinking, yeah, this should help angina. But in the process of using the drug, they find, wait a minute, this drug is also working for hypertension, for heart attacks, and for arrhythmias. And voila, there we are with drugs that can treat hypertension. So the other non-selective drugs, beta blockers, besides propranolol, obviously, is nadolol, pentobarbital, carvedilol, sotalol, and labetalol. So those ones block both beta 1 and beta 2. They're not picky. As opposed to the selective beta blockers that include atenolol, bisoprolol, metoprolol, esmolol. And again, I've named, and again, so what I've done is just named the drugs that are specifically used for hypertension, and they all end in lol, as opposed to putting in another example like salbutamol, that is also, it's a selective beta 2 block. It's selective for beta 2, and it's actually you'll find it used for asthma and COPD. So the only LOLs we are talking about have to do with hypertension, and you'll ever find non-selective ones that really don't care. They'll block beta 1 and 2, as opposed to the selective ones that only block beta 1. All right. So I hope we're clear on how that works and where each person falls. Let's move on to side effects. Before I tell you what they are, let me just remind you what a side effect is. It's an unintended or negative reaction to a medicine. So they are predictable and they later resolve on their own with time. So they are unintended. They are a negative thing, though it's possible to find a reaction that was good, just like they did with propranolol. A side effect of the angina, of giving it for angina, was actually the decrease in the blood pressure. Okay, so the ones that we're going to be speaking about are the ones that we don't want to happen for our hypertensive patients, but they resolve over time. They are predictable. Therefore, you should be talking to your patients about them. Otherwise, as you know, if you do not tell them side effects to expect, it's very easy for them not to be adherent or compliant to them. So the first one is hypotension. Again, the patient will come and report and say, I've been feeling dizzy when I stand up quickly. I feel like I'm going to fall. And with time, this will go away. Just keep in mind that all of a sudden, the pressure is now going down. So hypotension is a side effect. And they will come and report it to you as feeling dizzy. And when they stand up quickly, they feel they could fall. So tell them to stand up slowly. All right. They could also report that they've been feeling more fatigued and tired once they got on this drug. And you can see these are reasons why a patient, if they are not aware of it, they will stop taking this medicine. But tell them that over time, this will go away. Now, for the non-selective ones, a rare side effect is bronchospasm. Bronco, so we are obviously in the lungs. And they'll come and report to you shortness of breath and wheezing. Again, this is rare. But if a patient came to me and told me shortness of breath and wheezing and they're on a non-selective and it's for their hypertension, I will probably switch them to a selective one, okay? Now, for those with diabetes, keep in mind that beta blockers, they can mask hypoglycemic symptoms, yeah? It will mask their blood sugar when their blood sugar is low. So maybe on a normal day, usually if I'm hypoglycemic, I have trembling hands. But since I got on this beta blocker, my hands do not tremble anymore, so which used to be my telltale sign. So once you put a patient on a beta blocker and they're diabetic, it's good to monitor to make sure that all is well in as far as their diabetes is concerned. So the other side effect that a patient will probably come and report to you is, since I taking this drug, I have cold hands and I have cold feet. The reason for this is because the blood supply to these areas has been affected, but it's all going to level out and it's going to be fine. Just tell them to give the drug time and we'll come back to warmth again, all right? So those are the ones, the top ones that I want to talk about. But the biggest warning I'll give on beta blockers, and it is in fact listed as a black box warning. And in case you're wondering what in the world is a black box warning, it is the highest safety related warning that is put on a drug. And specifically for beta blockers, it is do not stop beta blockers abruptly. Why? Because you put your patient at risk of rebound tachycardia or hypertension. You can imagine my body has been used that I only work with, let's say, 50% of my beta receptors. Then all of a sudden, boom, they're not blocked anymore. And they are open to bind with the norepi and epi. Yeah, the cardiac activity will go up. And yeah, the blood pressure will go up. So what do I suggest you do? How about you gradually reduce the dose over a period of 1 to 2 weeks while carefully monitoring your patient? It's important to tell your patient this because they're probably going to go to another doctor, another clinician, and maybe they don't remember they're on a beta blocker and there they are, they get stopped. It was not reduced slowly. So be sure to warn them about the black box warning and to reduce gradually, all right? All important information to give your patients that are on beta blockers. So, as discussed, the beta blockers, they're basically blocking norepi and epi from binding to the beta receptor. And when that happens, there's a decrease in cardiac activity and a decrease in blood pressure, which is what we want for the hypertensive patients. So that's it on beta blockers. Until next time, keep blocking that beta. Bye. I am Dr. Wamboi, and thanks for listening to this episode of The Drug Chat. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and remember to share with your friends. Until next time, stay inquisitive. Bye.